My name is Matt, one of the pastors here at The Village. Good to be with you this morning. If you're a guest with us, we are in the book of Luke. We've been there for a while, and we'll end up our series in the book of Luke just after Easter this year. Our series is called Jesus is the One. We think Jesus is the one for everything. We think Jesus is the one for everyone. And this morning, we're going to be talking about this idea that Jesus is the one who will judge what we did with his business. Jesus is the one who will judge what we did with his business. Now, if you're a Christian or if you're kind of looking into Christianity, you hear the word judge, you say, wait a minute. I thought the whole point of Christianity is that we are no longer under the judgment of God. And if you're not yet a Christian, I want to say, yes, that is what Christianity teaches, that we're no longer under the judgment of God as Christians because Jesus took the judgment of God for our sin, and he took it on himself on the cross. And so, yes and amen. Can we say amen, Christians? Amen to that. We are no longer under the judgment of God. But although we're no longer under the judgment of God, Jesus will still judge. Jesus will still make a judgment about what we did with the life that he has given us. At the end of days, Jesus will still make a judgment. He will still judge what we did with the business that he entrusted to us. Paul would later say it this way to a group of early Christians in a culture much like ours, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil." To a culture like ours that is so easily caught up in its own life and using its own life for itself and its own business, making our own business plan and doing our own business and bidding, a culture like ours in Corinth, Paul reminded them, no, we will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And Jesus will judge what we did with the life that has been given to us, with the business that he has entrusted to us. You know, I say, well, what business is that? What business is Jesus in? We actually get a clue to that in the first part of verse 11 where it says, "And they heard these things," or "as they heard these things, he proceeded to tell them a parable." As they heard what things? Well, if we go back just a verse earlier to where we were last week, it says, "And Jesus said to him," that is to Zacchaeus, "today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham." He's a son of faith. He has faith in Jesus. "For the Son of Man," and that's Jesus' favorite term for himself, "came to seek and to save the lost." Jesus is well on into his ministry now. He's on his way to Jerusalem. He's on his way to be crucified. But he's sort of at the tail end of his ministry now. But all the way in the beginning, Jesus actually said something similar. When Jesus called his first disciples, when Jesus called Levi or Matthew, the person in the Bible that I actually get my namesake from, Jesus said this, "And Jesus answered them, 'Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance.'" Jesus' business, what is his business that he's entrusting to us? What is his business that he's inviting us to? What's his business that he is bringing us into? Seeking and saving the lost. Seeking and saving sinners, that's what he says. Seeking and saving the spiritually sick, that's what he said in Luke 5. Seeking and saving the spiritually lost, that's what he says in Luke 19. He's not just in the business of sanctifying the found. He's in the business of seeking the lost. Jesus is not just in the business of making us like him, although he is. He's in the business of inviting more people to him. And Jesus is not just in the business of building his current family. We are all sons and daughters of God. Jesus is in the business of building on his family, of building on his existing family. And that's why at the Village Church, we say it this way. And earlier this morning, I was in the community group leader meeting that we had before church started. And Pastor Mike Langdon leads a community group. And Mike did such a great job talking about what they do in their group. And in their group every week, they're reviewing the vision and the values that we have as a church because they're grounded in Scripture. They're there for a reason. This is the reason we say Village Church exists to glorify God by growing and multiplying disciples. We are not just about growing disciples, because Jesus is not just about growing disciples. He's about multiplying disciples. So we have to be about that. That is his business, seeking and saving the lost. Not just growing the sanctified, but saving the lost. This is his business. His business is seeking and saving the lost, growing and multiplying disciples. And he's asked us to make it our business. He's asked us to make it our business, like it's his business, with everything that he's given us, to make it our business now to seek the spiritually lost and to see them be saved, to see them be found in Jesus. What kind of business are you in? What kind of business are we in, Village Church? Have we wrote a different business plan? Have we just said, I'll make a little edits to your business plan, Jesus, because I actually have a better plan than that. It's really focused on me. It's really focused on us. Are we editing Jesus' business plan? What are we doing? Jesus didn't want his disciples to miss this. I don't think he wants us to miss it either. He doesn't want us to miss anything that he's said, but Jesus didn't want his disciples to miss this. He didn't want to waste any time with them, which is why he told them the parable. Time was going to be short, so he doesn't want them to miss this idea. You need to be involved in the business that I'm in. And so this is the whole reason he told the parable. And they, as they heard these things, he proceeded to tell them a parable because he was near to Jerusalem. He's about to be tortured and crucified, and because they supposed, the people around him, that the kingdom of God was to appear immediately. I just want to pause and say, he told them this parable because the time was short. Jesus did not have a lot of time left. Last week we were saying he's walking through Jericho and he's literally passing through on his way to Jerusalem. He's about to be crucified. The time is short. Jesus doesn't have a lot of time. And so even as he's walking, he's taking the time to tell these things to his disciples and the people around him, because the time was short, because he was near to Jerusalem, the time was short. And Village Church, I just got to say, like, you know, I realize this week, again, new and afresh, and maybe you are hearing these words, the time is short for us. We don't have a lot of time. The time is short. We don't know when Jesus is going to return. We just got done celebrating the first coming, the first advent of Jesus over Christmas. Now, we're looking forward to the second advent, the second coming of Jesus. We don't know when that is. We're in Luke 19 now, but back in Luke chapter 12, Jesus said it this way: you also must be ready. You got to be ready. You don't know. For the Son of Man is coming in an hour you do not expect. We don't know when he returns. And Jesus told this parable to his disciples because the time is short. Village Church, I'm telling you, the time could be very, very short. But Jesus also told them this parable because there's another sense that the time could actually be long. The time could actually be long before Jesus comes to finish his business once and for all. When Jesus comes to return, he's going to finish his business once and for all, and it could be a long time. They were expecting it to happen right then and there because they supposed that the kingdom of God was to appear immediately. I just want to say the time could be long for us. Well, Jesus could not return before the end of my lifetime, before the end of your lifetime. We could have years and years and years. And so I want you to know this parable this morning is struck me. The time is short for you and for me, but the time in a sense could be long. You have a lot of years in front of you to either obey or not obey this parable. And the disciples of Jesus have always walked in this tension from Luke 19 until 2025. You and I, as disciples of Jesus, are walking in the same tension that they were walking in. The time is short, and yet we have a lot of time potentially in front of us to either obey or not this parable. And this is the context for the parable Jesus tells starting in verse 12. The time is short and the time is long, so what does Jesus want us to be doing with the time that we have? He told them this parable. He said, therefore, because of all of this, therefore, he said, therefore, a noble man went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and then return. You know the story, don't you? Calling 10 of his servants, he gave them 10 minas and said to them, engage in business until I come. Engage in business until I come. Here we find this morning that Jesus is the one who employs us in his business until he comes. Jesus is the one who employs us in his business until he comes. Servants in those days were employees. They worked for the master or the owner or the steward. And I have used other words this morning, and I use them on purpose because Jesus does invite us into his business. I've used the word call because Jesus does call us into his business. It's a great opportunity for us, but it's more than that. As Christians, we are employed by Jesus in his business. Jesus is the one who not just calls us, not just invites us. Jesus Christ employs us in his business. And he gives us something that's significant. Now, in this parable, there are 10 minas. And if you Google with AI, you'll find out really quick when you go home, 10 minas is like 3 to 4 months worth of wages. In Orange County terms, that's a lot of money. 3 to 4 months worth of wages that he entrusted them. The point is not the amount. The point is that it's significant. There's something significant that he's entrusting to his servants. And Village Church, you know where this is going. Like, Jesus has entrusted us something very, 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 the most significant thing in the history of the world. We have been entrusted with the truth of the gospel. We have been entrusted with the truth of the gospel of the kingdom of God, that the good way, the better way, the best way, God's way is with Jesus. The good life is with Jesus. That's the gospel of the kingdom. There's a way we're ought to live. When we believe the gospel of Jesus, we walk in the way of the kingdom of Jesus, and we're entrusted with the great commission of Jesus. He's saying, go and make disciples. This is what we have been entrusted. We are entrusted was something much more significant than 3 to 4 months worth of wages. And with what we've been entrusted with, Jesus says, engage in business. That word engage means to be occupied with it. We're to be occupied with this business, not preoccupied with our own business, not preoccupied with something else. That's the point of this parable. We are to be occupied with this business. What business? Seeking and saving the lost. That is the business of Jesus. His business is seeking and saving the lost. He was very, very clear. If you're in sales this morning, maybe your mind's already going, you're like, yeah, yeah. The seeking is like the prospecting, and the saving is like the closing. And maybe for some of you salespeople, you're like, always be closing, always be closing. Yes, and amen, always be closing. Some of you hear that kind of analogy, and you think to yourself, oh, that's God's job. I don't close anything. I don't close any deals. It's like if you're like this, like the, you know, you're getting started in sales and you get close to a deal and you're like, I don't know if I can close this. And you bring in your sales manager. He's like, I got it, and close this thing. Some of you salespeople are laughing. You know how this goes. Jesus is a sales manager, right? He's like, I got it. You know, every time Jesus is going to close the deal, every time he's the one that closes the deal. So you're thinking, it's not my job to close the deal. And I'd say, that's true. But are you even trying? Like, how many of us are even trying to close the deal? How many of us are even trying to prospect? How many of us are actually prospecting even? And when we get the appointment, so to speak, with the person, and we sit down and we have the opportunity to share the gospel, how many of us are even asking for the deal? How many of us are asking for the business? We're saying, do you want to say yes to this? It's the best deal in the history of the world. We're not even prospecting for it. When we get to the deal, we're climbing up, and we're not even asking for the sale. Are you with me? This is what our entire lives are to be occupied with. That Jesus has given us everything, and everything we have been given is for this, not for anything else. And that's one of the things that struck me this week. Everything that I have, my family, my friends, my work, the things I like to volunteer to do outside of here, my hobbies, my interests, the places that I'm just passing through like we saw last week, all of that has been given to me by Jesus for this purpose, to engage in business. That's all it's for. It's not just for my enjoyment, although it is. Jesus has given me an incredible family, but it's not just for my enjoyment to bless me. It's so that we can be a blessing to the people around us and that we as a family can share the gospel with people so that our lives can model something of this and people can see it. That's the reason I have the family I have. That's the reason I have the friends that I have. Yesterday, Pastor Josh and JT and I got together for some lunch, and we spent 3 hours together. And these guys are not just fellow pastors, and we're not just in an accountability group together, but we're friends. The friends that God has given me have been given to me for this reason, so that we can proclaim the gospel to people and we can be engaged in the business of Jesus. My work, your work has been given to you because there are people at your work that need to hear about Jesus. All of it's been given to you, not just to provide for your family, not just to fulfill you in the things that he's built you for, not just to give you joy. Yes and amen to all of that. But the business is seeking and saving the lost. That at the end of the day, if you're like, what is this business about? If your boss asked you, what is our company about? What is our business about? You need to give him a short and succinct answer. And if you work for him, you better know. And if Jesus comes to one of us and says, hey, what business am I in? And you're like, no, this is the business, seeking and saving the lost. If you're married to someone in sales, maybe you've heard this word verticals before. I made like a little graph. It's like if you're in sales, you have these different verticals, right? These different places where you can build on your business. You could build the business in these ways, in these sort of funnels. Oh, I can go out to these people and I can, you know, go to this region, or I can try to partner with this distributor, or I can, like, where are my different verticals? Where are my channels where I'm going to actually be bringing the things that I'm bringing in my business? And we have all kinds of them. I want you to just take a look at that and say, who's in your vertical? What family do you have that you know doesn't know Jesus? What friend? Where are the opportunities at work or with the stuff you do to volunteer and philanthropy or in some way? Like, where are the opportunities with your hobbies and the things that you do or you're passing through or some other vertical that I'm not thinking about, but you are right now because the Holy Spirit brings it to your mind? Jesus invites his disciples. Jesus employs his disciples into his business of seeking and the saving the lost. But I got to tell you, he also warns us, this is a hard business. Have you found that? This is a hard business to be in. And I don't want to take anything away from that this morning. With all my exhortation this morning to all of us and to, and to myself, I don't want to take anything away from the fact that this is a hard business. Verse 14 says, but his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him saying, we do not want this man to reign over us. The disciples were supposed to be occupied with, not preoccupied with something else, occupied with seeking and saving the lost, but the lost would not naturally want to be found. And the lost would not naturally think they have anything to be saved from. We don't want you. Think about selling a product. It's not like, yeah, no, I'm not interested. It's like, I'm not interested in your product, and I hate you. Like, if you made a sales phone call, they're like, hi, I'm Matt. You know, I just want to, hey, do you have any problems with, you know, purifying your water in your home or whatever? And they're like, no, I don't want your product, and you're dead to me. You know, I hate you, you know? This, I mean, it's a little tongue-in-cheek, but, like, this is what they're saying. They're saying, I don't want what you're selling, and I don't want you. I hate you. I want nothing to do with you. I don't want you ruling over my life. This is the attitude of the world. This is the attitude of the lost. They're like, no, I don't want anything to do with Jesus. I got it. Thank you very much. I don't need what you're selling. I'm doing just fine on my own. This is going to be hard work. It's not going to be an easy business. But if you're in business, you know that any good business is a hard business. If it's a good business, if it's one of the best businesses, it's going to be a hard business. But when you break through some of that, it's really good business on the other side. We'll talk about that in a few moments. It's a good business. It's the best business to be in, but it's not an easy business. Over COVID, some of you know that I helped Luke start a little skateboarding company, and some of you were really involved, you know, helping us in that in some way, and it was so much fun, you know, and basically all of my free time went into that, and it was amazing because I got to spend so much time with my son. And all of his hobby time became kind of like work time a little bit. And we made a ton of progress, and he made some videos, like over 1 million views. And, you know, he kind of broke into the skateboarding industry, which is really, really difficult to do. And there was one point where there's this, like, internationally known, like, skateboard thing that's in L.A., and we became friends with them, and they loved our product. And so we got to go up there, and they interviewed Luke. about this product that he had. You know, he got a patent and did all this stuff. And so they do this interview, and we're on the way up, and I'm trying to prep him, you know. And so I ask him the question, and which he said later said in the interview. I said, "Son, when you get up there and you're sitting in the seat and all the lights are on you and they're going to ask you a question, you know, like, what are you going to say about this question? Something like, you know, what have you learned about business?" And off the top of his head, very quickly, Luke said, "Starting a business is really hard. And business is all about relationships. And business is really hard." It was like the heart was on both sides and the relationship was like right in the middle. But isn't that the way it is? Getting started in this business is really hard. Like taking the first step to actually step out there and share the gospel with someone, I get it. It's really hard. But it's all about the relationship. You build a relationship. It's all about the relationship. And on the other hand of it, can we just admit, like, this is just hard. There are some hard things about this. That's true about any business. It's true about this business. Like, if you're in sales, you know, you're going to make 100 phone calls. And out of those 100 phone calls, you're probably hoping you're going to get 10 appointments. And out of those 10 appointments, you're hoping you're going to close, like, 2 deals. And a lot of us do this day in and day out for our career, inside sales, outside, whatever. And we're making those calls, and we're getting all that rejection, but we're just like, keep going. If we make 100 calls, then we get 10 appointments, and we get 2 sales, and we provide for our families. What are we doing with Jesus' business? What are we doing? Like, when we get rejected the first time, like, are we just giving up? Because you wouldn't do that for your job. You would keep going. You keep pressing through, knowing that you're going to get rejected. You're going to get rejected 90 times out of 100, but you're going to keep making the phone calls because you want the 10 appointments, because you know that the 10 appointments are going to lead to 2 sales, and you know you need to provide for your family. But, like, what are we doing? What are we doing about the prospecting in Jesus' business? Jesus is the one who invites us into his business until he comes, who employs us into his business until he comes, and he will come. Verse 15 says, "And when he returned, having received the kingdom, he ordered these servants," again, it's not just an invitation, like they are employed by him in this. "He ordered his servants," these servants, to whom he had given the money, "to be called to him, that he might know what they had gained by doing business." The second thing I just want to simply say this morning is Jesus is the one who expects to make a profit in his business. Jesus expects to make a profit in this business. It says what they had gained. The word for gain is to understand the business for the sake of gain. The word gain means profit. It's what's left at the end. It's what's gained in the business. Jesus is not in the nonprofit business, although churches are nonprofit 501c3s. Don't be confused. Jesus is not in the nonprofit business. Jesus is in the profit business. And Jesus wants a huge profit. He wants a gigantic, outsized gain. And this is a reasonable expectation because every business needs to be profitable or it's not a business. It's a hobby. And every business needs to make a profit. They need and they want to make a profit. Businesses are not in the business of losing money. They are in the business of making money. And Jesus is not in the business of losing people. He's in the business of saving people. That is the currency of his business. He's in business to seek and to save the lost, and he wants a lot of them. I have a friend who got into a business. It's a very good business. He has a book of business, and I don't know if that's your deal, but he has a book of business, and he's in some a kind of sales where when he makes a deal, he gets a good chunk. For all of you salespeople, I just want to be like, This is good. Like, he gets a good chunk of that sale, but then it repeats itself every year. And then what he does is he goes back and he actually builds on that and he builds a book of business. So all the business that he has is his book, and then every year he's adding to it. And his goal is to add maybe 5 to 10 clients a year. That's it, to build on that book of business. And I think that's something like what Jesus' business is. That Jesus continues to build on his business. I'm just like, "Lord, I'm not going anywhere. I'm still here. And every year I get to interact with Jesus, and I'm part of the business in a sense that he has closed, if that's the right way to say it. Like, I'm his son. He's called me to himself. I'm part of his family. I'm here. I'm not going anywhere. But Jesus is going to continue. We are like the book of business as we're gathered together as God's people. And he's going to continue to build on the book. How did the servants in the parable do building on the book of business? We find out in verse 16. The first came before him saying, Lord, your mina has made 10 minas more. And he said to him, well done. You know, good and faithful servant, good servant. Because you've been faithful over a very little, doesn't seem like a very little, but in the grand scheme of what he has, it was. You shall have authority over 10 cities. And the second came saying, your mina has made 5 minas. And he said to him, and you are to be over 5 cities. How did they do? A few of them did incredible. It's an incredible return. They get a mina and then they get 10. A 10x return is a very good return. If you're investing in a business and you get a 10x return, you are happy, are you not? No? You would be happy? Okay, good. I was making sure you guys were like, no, I'm day trading. I get like, you know, no, you know, you don't get Nancy Pelosi returns. I'm just saying you get like a 10x return is a good return, is it not? Come on, we all know. It doesn't matter what side of the aisle you sit on, right? You know. A 5x return? I mean, that's a great return. Like, these guys, some of these guys have done very well. It's an incredible return. And because of that, they get an incredible reward. This kind of business is all about risk-reward. The bigger the risk, the bigger the potential reward. And in this business, there's a lot of risk. It's a risky thing to step out there and to share your faith with people and to be engaged in Jesus' business and sort of risk the relationship or risk the connection or risk employment or risk something. Like, the risk is big on this side. The reward is enormous on this side. Every business is like that, and this business is especially like that. What is the reward? One, it's public affirmation. Well done, good servant. Everyone loves public affirmation. And I just want to say, at the Village Church, we want to do a good job with this. When someone does a good job around here, we want to say, hey, this person has done a good job with this, and we're grateful. The Bible says, give honor to whom honor is due. It's a great way to show appreciation to someone. That's a big deal. Public affirmation. But he also got to be involved in a little profit sharing, which is also great. You have authority over 10 cities, or you are now to be over 5 cities. You get to share in this now. And it's not just the real estate business, the cities. There are people that live in cities that do commerce. Like, he's going to profit share in this parable in all of it. It's an incredible reward for being faithful with the business. Jesus is in a good business, the best. And it's also a hard business. But any hard business, when you break through, also has really great reward. And the rewards in Jesus' business are eternal. That's how wonderful they are. And I just want to say, if you're looking at this going, like, man, this is like, I can't, a 5x return or a 10x return, like, I'm just trying to share Jesus with like one person. Like, how do I get a 5x or a 10x? How do I do that? And I just want to say, it doesn't really matter like how it's done or how long it takes. Like, he just is looking for the profit. He just is looking for the gain. He wants the reward. He wants to give you, rather, the reward for the gain. Think about like a profit tree where, like, if you share Jesus with one person and then you share Jesus with two people, and in your lifetime, kind of those are the main people, but then like this guy shares him with this guy, and this guy becomes an evangelist and he shares it with this many, and like you can just see how quickly the gain works. Or maybe you're on a sales team and you're like, I can do this part and you can do this part, but like kind of like let's share this deal together. And there is an analogy to that in Corinthians also in the first book. It's more about planting and watering, but you'll get the picture. What then is Apollos, or what is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, as the Lord assigned to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. He always closes. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. Ultimately, the deal never happens without him. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. He has employed us in his business. And when we do a good job in it, there is a reward. And we can team up with one another. And we might just get a slice of the commission over here and a slice from over here, whatever. It doesn't matter. It all adds up. And the most important thing is just that the deal is closed. And that's his responsibility. And so we can go prospect together, and we can go to meetings together, and we can strategize together. And unfortunately, not everyone works so hard. Not everyone does so well in this business. Verse 20, then another came saying, Lord, here is your mina, which I kept laid away in a handkerchief, for I was afraid of you, because you are a severe man. You take what you did not deposit and reap what you did not sow. And he said to him, I will condemn you with your own words, you wicked servant. You knew that I was a severe man, taking what I did not deposit and reaping what I did not sow. Why then did you not put my money into the bank, and at my coming I might have collected it with interest? There'd be something there. And the other thing we see this morning is Jesus is the one who is serious. He is serious about making a profit in his business. This word severe is a hard word, and it might give you pause this morning. It might jolt or jostle you this morning a little bit. I mean, the word literally means harsh or rough or rigid. And in the parable, we know who is speaking and we know who he's describing himself. I just want to say, Jesus is not messing around. Jesus is not playing games. Jesus is not like playing entrepreneur. You know, he's in business. And his business is people. And he is serious about getting his return. I mean, we see this imagery in the Bible, right? He is the lion and he is the lamb. He is loving and he is just. He is long-suffering and he is expectant. Growing up, I had a friend, a family friend, my parents' family friend, and he owned a gigantic company up in the Portland area. And we got to go to some of his houses that he owned and do fun things. And he was a really fun guy in many ways, you know, and he invited us in and whatever. But when he was like fun and joyful and everything. But when he was doing business, he would take a call. Like his sort of demeanor would change a little bit. Like he was serious about his business. It was a family business. It had been built. And he was serious about his return. He was serious about his customers. He was serious about the people he served. And you could just tell, like, he's not playing games here. Like, he liked playing games. He liked having fun. All these things in their house. They lived in joy. But, like, he's not messing around with that. I think that Jesus is something like this. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may receive what is due that he's done in the body, whether good or evil. I just want to say this as tenderly as I can because I believe Jesus said it tenderly to me this week. And I needed to hear it tenderly, and I'm assuming you probably do too. I think part of the point of this parable is that it is evil. And that word is on purpose. To know the gospel and not share the gospel. Because sin is evil. And knowing the gospel and not sharing the gospel is sinful. It's not just, oh, I should do better, or I could do that, or maybe I should do that better. No. It is sinful. It's evil. And how do I know that? James, the brother of Jesus, wrote these words after the resurrection of Jesus. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. I just got to say, oh. I just got to tell you, like, when the Holy Spirit brought that verse to mind to me this week, I just kind of put my head down. I was just like, oh. You know, it's true. It's true. It's totally true. To know what to do, I mean, it's the Bible. Of course it's true. To know what to do and not do it, it's sin. Jesus has employed me, not just because I work at a church, because I am a Christian. Jesus has employed me, not just in this building. Jesus has employed me, Matt Kaiser, as a Christian. to engage in his business until he comes. Jesus is serious about being successful in his business, so serious that he says in the parable, starting in verse 24, he said to those who stood by, take the mina from him and give it to the one who has 10 minas. And they said to him, Lord, he already has 10 minas. I tell you that to everyone who has, more will be given. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And this morning here we see that Jesus is the one who will make a profit in his business through those who are most engaged in the business. Jesus will make a profit in his business to those who are most engaged. Do you know what? I talked to a lot of guys in our church who are so, there's just so many studs in this church who just, they're great fathers and husbands. They love the Lord. They love this church. They do a great job at their work. And so many of them say, you know, the only reward for good work is more work. The only reward for good work is more work. These guys are in the throes of their career, and they're finding the only reward for doing really good work is that you get more work. And that is true right here. The people that are doing good work, God, Jesus gives them more work to do. But it's not a burden, it's a blessing, it's a joy, it's a wonderful opportunity because the dividends are eternal. You want more of this work, trust me, right? If your boss puts more of this on you, you're like, bring it, I'm ready. I'm totally ready, I'm in. I want more of this kind of work. And this is why, I don't know if you've ever wondered why some people grow and some other people just stay the same. From the lips of Jesus, this is one of the reasons. I hate to break it to you. I don't, you know, write the mail. I just deliver it. This is the reason. This is at least one of the reasons. Ever wonder why some churches grow and others stay the same? Right here. This is the reason. I mean, I've heard so many people say, and I've said so many times, you know, say something about a megachurch. Oh, they have all these people, and they must be like a mile wide and an inch deep. Yeah, and they are a mile wide. Because they are more focused on reaching lost people. And that is the business Jesus is in, seeking and saving the lost. So if we're sitting here rewriting the business plan, maybe they would say something about us. Maybe it's small for a reason. Maybe we're not seeing fruit for a reason. Jesus is going to take it. He's so serious. He's going to take it from someone, and he's going to give it to someone else. He's going to get a profit from the people that are most engaged, looking for people that are lost, seeking and saving the lost, the people that are prospecting the most. Remember, the time is long. But the time might also be very short. And no one knows. Matthew records Jesus saying, but concerning that day and the hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father knows. Time might be long, but time also is short. And Jesus will get the return he desires through the people that are engaged, the people that are occupied, not preoccupied, the people that are occupied. And the reward is amazing for the people that choose to be occupied with the business of Jesus. It's amazing reward. It's all the motivation we need, the public affirmation, the profit sharing. It's amazing. The only thing we get by not engaging is living a life of passivity. I have a neighbor who's a government worker. I ran into him this week. He's been working from home for a long time. His hope is that there'll be some kind of deal with DOGE so that he could retire and get a big payout and live off of his pension and coast into the sunset. And I was listening, and in light of this, I was thinking, how tragic that is. What a tragic rest of your life, living off of a government pension. And I thought, that's exactly what a lot of us are doing as Christians. We know we're going to go to heaven. We know we have the pension. We know it's going to get paid out. We know it's invested well. It's secure, the Bible says. It's been secured by Jesus. It's not going anywhere. But we're just, are we all just living off a government pension? I mean, I think most of us look at that and say, man, someone who wants to just get a payout from the government and work from home and live off a pension, we don't have a ton of respect for that. But then we think about our own lives and what we're doing in the business of Jesus. Like, are we trying to live off like a heavenly pension and then we're just kind of like going to coast it out to the end? We can't do that. Village Church, we cannot do that. We cannot coast. We cannot live off the pension. No, that's not it. Not just because you're missing the reward. There's so many rewards on the other side. And not just because it's obedience. Jesus said, like, this is it. I am going to come and give an account. You're employed by me, not just invited by me, but because the consequences of not being engaged in the business, they're literally life and death. But as for these enemies of mine, who did not want me to reign over them, bring them here and slaughter them before me. Jesus is going to return one day. And the people that we know that don't yet know Jesus, are going to perish. And there's going to be no more time. The time is short. The time might be long, but it's not that long. You don't have a lot of time. We don't have a lot of time. If you're not yet a Christian, you walked in this morning, you're like, wow, okay. And I'm saying, yeah. Jesus is serious about this. And so this morning is kind of a sober moment for us. And if you're not yet a Christian and no one's shared the gospel really clearly with you, I just want to say I'm sorry for that. I don't know why. There's all kinds of we get preoccupied by so many other things. But can I just tell you really quickly, succinctly, Christians believe Jesus lived the life that we could never live on our behalf. He lived a sinless life on our behalf before God, the life we could never live. And we need to live a sinless life because we've sinned against God, and there are consequences, eternal consequences for sinning against God. But Jesus came to serve us in a way that we could not serve ourselves. He lived a sinless life on our behalf. Though he lived the life we could never live. He died the death that we should have died. We deserve the consequences for our sin. But Jesus took the consequences on himself so that we don't have to bear them. And Jesus rose to give us a life we could never have otherwise, a life that's forgiven and free, forgiven for our sin and now free to live the life he created us from the beginning and to engage in his business with him until he comes. And one day Jesus will return and he will call his people to himself and we will live with him forever and we will enjoy the eternal reward of being with him and the eternal reward of all the things that, as Paul said, we've done in the body, whether good or evil. There will be eternal rewards. And we'll get to enjoy them, and we'll get to enjoy him forever. If you're not yet a Christian, I would plead with you to put your faith and your hope and trust in Jesus, who is the Son of God, who's come to forgive you for your sin. And if you're a Christian this morning, I would plead with you get in the business, work the business, be faithful to the family business. Ask me if I'm being faithful to the family business. Let's get to work. Would you pray with me? Well, Lord, you know the people that I know that have a family business, who run a family business. I can see Mike Norris out of the corner of my eye as I pray, and I just, all the decades I watched him run a family business with his sons, what an unbelievable joy to have a family business, to be involved in it as a family. And Lord, we thank you mostly that you've called us to yourself, that we are sons, we are daughters, and we're also apparently employees. And what a privilege that is to be involved in your business. Thank you for inviting us into the family business. Lord, we want to be in this business with you. Would you help us to be, would you empower us to be occupied with your business? We ask it, Jesus, in your name. Amen.